Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom, and today we're going to travel.
Yay!
Sometimes it can be cold in the winter, and a good place to go would be someplace that's warm.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, let's think of warm places. Here in Asia, we've got Indonesia, we've got Thailand, the Philippines, maybe India. But if you want to go all the way to the other side of the world to a warm place, you might want to consider Morocco.
Especially if you like Middle Eastern food. They've got a lot of wonderful tastes and smells and sounds there.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a pretty exotic place. I was excited that we got this article because I've never been to Morocco and it looks very fun. Have you been?
No, of course, I haven't even been to Europe, but I understand that people who sometimes travel to Europe and if they go to Spain...They might make a day trip across the Strait of Gibraltar there, down to Morocco, and enjoy what Morocco has to offer. It's a blend of all sorts of cultures. You can get all sorts of interesting trinkets there, souvenirs, and have some wonderful stories, and also eat some really wonderful, tasty food.
Yeah, there's great food, great shopping. It's my kind of place to go.I don't have to hike up any large mountains. That's not my favorite thing. I just want to shop and eat and relax.
Wow, you're going to gain weight doing something like
that. Of course, because that's what vacations are for. Okay, everybody, we're going to read through day one, and then we'll be back to discuss it. Although there are many outdoor markets around the world...Nothing quite compares to the vibrant atmosphere of a bazaar. Before you reach the market, the smells of saffron and roasted lamb waft through the air and lead you to your destination. When you arrive, your senses are flooded with an orchestra of unusual sights and sounds. In the corner of the market, a young boy is busy hammering away at a bicycle tire. Across the way, a smooth-talking vendor...is hawking his wares. And at an outdoor cafe, you hear people conversing in English, French, and Arabic, in between puffs of flavored tobacco from hookahs. Welcome to the Kingdom of Morocco. Morocco is a country in northern Africa with a population of approximately 32 million. In the course of its history, Morocco has assimilated bits and pieces of foreign cultures into its own traditions.Romans, Moors, Jews, and Arabs all passed through Morocco and left their mark on the nation. This is why Morocco boasts such a unique and ethnically diverse culture today. Perhaps this is best demonstrated by Moroccan cuisine. It's a combination of Spanish, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, African, and native Berber recipes all rolled into one.Spices are used prominently as they have been imported to Morocco for thousands of years. You can feast on chicken flavored with fresh lemons and salty olives. Or you may enjoy a plate of couscous, a famed Moroccan dish of steamed semolina that's often served with chickpeas and vegetables. When you're full, you can wash it down with a refreshing cup of Moroccan mint tea.
Okay, so we're trekking through Morocco. Trekking here is a word that is used, to refer to adventure travel, basically. Not traveling with a tour group, but you have your backpack, you're hiking and out, you're mingling with the locals, you're having a real adventure. So we're trekking through Morocco. And let's begin with the first sentence here. It says, although there are many outdoor markets around the world, nothing quite compares to the vibrant atmosphere of a bazaar.Ooh, okay, now, a bazaar is just a Middle Eastern market. I think they only use that word in the Middle East. You would not talk about, say, a bazaar in the Taipei night market or something like that. You wouldn't call it a bazaar.
Actually, we do use that word in America. If you grow up and you go to church, sometimes you'll have an occasion where a lot of people from church get together. They sell different kinds of things to collect money for a good purpose. It's called a church bazaar.Like the ladies would bring in things that they had made, arts and crafts, of course, baked goods for sale. So I grew up knowing what a bazaar was in the United States, but here we're talking about a really exotic kind of market, more like a night market that they have here in Taiwan. There are lots of little shops, and there are so many different kinds of trinkets you can buy. Lots of smells going on, as you might imagine. But it looks like it's a fun place to go shopping.
Right, so nothing quite compares to a bazaar. To compare means you take two or more things and you try to find the things that are similar and the things that are different. Compare A with B, for example. Well, nothing compares to the vibrant atmosphere of a bazaar, which means basically there's nothing like it. You're really going to get a really wonderful experience if you go to this kind of market. Atmosphere here could refer to the air that surrounds the earth or other celestial bodies, but here we're talking about the general feeling of a place, the sights and the sounds, and how it makes you feel.
Now, before you reach the market, you're going to know you're close because some smells will come wafting through the air, it says. We're talking about the smells of saffron. Saffron is a bright yellow spice. They use a lot of saffron in Indian food.It gives a very special taste and color to the food when it's added. It's very, very, very expensive to buy. So you only want to use a little tiny bit. Actually, you don't need to use much. It's strong. It's usually sold as a powder or in really thin pieces, but they use it there in Morocco too. Here's roasted lamb. When you roast something, you cook it in an oven, or maybe you have a big pit.That you put it in and you cook it there. We're talking about roasted lamb. That's a popular meat there. And waft is a word we use when we're talking about a smell or maybe a light wind. If it wafts somewhere, it just moves there gently. Sounds can also waft towards you. It just means the sound's not very loud. It's very pleasant sounding. You can hear it. It's kind of far away, but it comes to your ears very pleasantly.
Mm-hmm. Waft. You could use this word to describe smells in night markets here in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
The smell of chou tofu wafts through the air. Unfortunately, that's bad for me because I never have gotten used to the smell of chou tofu. But if you're in the Middle East here or in Morocco specifically, you might smell saffron or roasted lamb wafting through the air amongst other smells and aromas.And they will lead you to your destination, so you might think, hey, that smells pretty cool. I'd like to try that. Well, when you arrive, your senses are flooded with an orchestra of unusual sights and sounds, and perhaps smells as well. Now, here we have the phrase, to be flooded with. Flood usually talks about a lot of water being in a place it's not supposed to be.We've talked about floods in Indonesia last year. There were some that took a number of lives. There were
Pakistan, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the next one. My goodness, floods happen everywhere, unfortunately. But here the phrase to be flooded with means you have all sorts of things coming in at once, and it might be overwhelming. You just don't know how to react. There's so much of it.
Yeah, maybe you're the Red Cross, and there's been a natural disaster somewhere, and people are wanting to contribute, so they flood the office with calls or letters or emails wanting to donate money. Here we're flooded with an orchestra of unusual sights and sounds. This is not literal. We're not talking about a lot of instruments that are coming at us. We're just saying an orchestra means a lot of different types of things. As you know, an orchestra is a large group of musicians that are playing together with a conductor, violins and cellos and flutes and horns.A big mix of different instruments. Here we're talking about a big mix of unusual sights and sounds that are really coming fast towards you. You're being flooded with them.
Mm-hmm. For example, in the corner of the market, you might see a young boy busily hammering away at a bicycle tire. Perhaps he's offering bicycle repairs for a very cheap price. Across the way or in another part of the market,You might hear or see a smooth-talking vendor who is hawking his wares. Smooth-talking means the person really knows how to talk and really knows how to convince people to listen to him or her or to buy what he or she is trying to sell. If you want to pick up a girl, you need to be smooth-talking so that the girls will fall into your arms and be charmed by you.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want to hawk your wares to her.
Unless she wants to buy it, of course. To hawk here as a verb means to try to sell something, usually as a vendor would try to do in a market.
Oh, and they talk fast. They try to persuade you the best they can. Sometimes they'll even follow you down the road.
Mm.
They want you to buy so badly. Now, here's an outdoor cafe, a place where people are sitting outside, maybe drinking a cup of coffee or having a light snack. You can hear people conversing in all different kinds of languages, English, French, and Arabic. And you can also see that they're smoking on a kind of a special type of equipment called a hookah. When you converse, it just means you're having a conversation with someone. Would you like to converse with me? It's sort of a more formal use of the word. We don't usually talk about conversing with someone. We'll write it typically or say, can we have a conversation quickly? But I wouldn't say to someone, would you come converse with me for a few minutes? Unless I was just kind of kidding with them, maybe joking with them. Now, what's a hookah? A hookah, I've seen on TV, it looks like a big pipe. It's actually known as a water pipe. Sometimes it has a single or a multi-stemmed instrument that you're looking at. It's for smoking, and smoke is actually cooled and filtered by passing through some water. And this is a very popular piece of equipment. It's actually becoming popular around the world, but it first started in the Middle East.
Yeah, I've seen those for sale here in Taiwan.
Really?
And I haven't, you know, I don't really know exactly what they're smoking with those things, you
know? It's a special kind of tobacco.
Right, special kind of tobacco. So it's legal, okay, but
oh,
some
yeah.
people might use those to smoke other things.
Whoa!
But we won't get into that
no.
right now. Okay, so these are things you can expect to see in the Kingdom of Morocco. That's why we're saying welcome to the Kingdom of Morocco. I guess that means it's run by a king. We'll talk more about that in just a couple of seconds, but right now it's time to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第三单元 Tracking Through Morocco. Morocco 是在哪里呢？它是北非的一个国家，我们中文通常翻成摩洛哥。好，我们先看开头，他提到虽然呢有很多的户外市集，却没有一个可以跟这个市集生气蓬勃的气氛来相比。好，我们看到这里有个 compare 是比较，Compare A to B 就是把 A 和 B 来做比较，所以呢没有一个可以和这里的 vibrant atmosphere 生气蓬勃的气氛来相比。这里用到一个字 Bazaar 就是市集。下面他说，当你到了这个市场的时候，会马上闻到的味道就是番红花，还有呢烤羊肉。 Saffron 就是番红花， Roasted lamb 就是烤羊肉。那这种味道呢，飘散在空气当中，带着你到你的目的地了。下面他写到了 Your senses are flooded with an orchestra of unusual sights and sounds. 看到了这边 flood 本来是代表淹水，当你说你的整个五官感受都被什么所淹没， are flooded with， 被后面这个东西所淹没，用到了一个字 orchestra 原来是管弦乐团，当然这边是指各种东西的组合，各样各式的东西充斥着你的感官，因此它指的到底是哪些 unusual sights 不平凡的奇特的景观，还有不平凡奇特的声音。接下来他就提到了，这时候你可能看到的是市场的一角有个男孩子忙着敲脚踏车轮胎，还有对面有一个口才伶俐的人正在叫卖商品。叫卖这个动词 hawk 本来是鹰，但是如果当动词来用，可以当兜售、当叫卖来解释。当然说到这个人口齿伶俐，他用的是 smooth talking 这个复合形容词，就表示一个人口才非常好。再来又提到另外的景观，就是在户外的小餐馆里，你能听到人们在干嘛，在吞云吐雾之中。这里有一个字 hookah， 那就是水烟袋。你听到人们在水烟的吞云吐雾中用了不同的语言，像英文、像法语、像阿拉伯语在交谈，那么你就知道你来到哪里呢？ The Kingdom of Morocco， 摩洛哥王国。
We're gonna take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back with more English Digest.
Okay, everybody, it's time now to resume with our lesson. We're talking about Morocco, and Morocco is a country in northern Africa with a population of approximately 32 million people. If you look at the map, it's a huge country in area, But its population is only 32 million, so you can assume that there are places in Morocco where you couldn't expect to see people for miles and miles.
Yeah, I'll bet you're right. Well, in the course of its history throughout its history, you could say, Morocco has assimilated bits and pieces of different cultures into its own traditions.So it's kind of like the U.S. in that way. We've had lots of people from different ethnicities come into our country in the U.S. And, you know, they've brought with them some of their great stuff. I'm sure glad the Mexicans brought their food with them to the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, Morocco's got lots of different foreign cultures there, too, and it's become part of Morocco's own traditions.When you assimilate into a place, it means you kind of mix well and you become part of that group or people. A lot of people who immigrate to new countries need to assimilate in many ways. Perhaps your native language is Mandarin. If you go to the U.S. or Canada, you're going to have to start speaking English.
Yeah, I was thinking about my grandmother's grandparents.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were from Holland.
Yeah.
And, yeah, my grandmother says that when she was a kid, she spoke to them in Dutch. But gradually, they were all assimilated into American culture. And when my grandmother was in her 80s, she had totally forgotten how to speak Dutch.
Oh.
Well, I think she still knew some things,
but
was so used to speaking English and doing things the American way, she was totally assimilated into American culture. And this is what happens in Morocco. It has assimilated bits and pieces of different cultures into its own traditions. For example, we have the Romans and the Moors and the Jews and the Arabs. They all passed through Morocco and left their mark on the nation. So they've made lots of contributions to the culture there, so you can expect to have some wonderful experiences there.
When you leave your mark on something or someone, it means you've had a big impact on them. You've left a big impression. So that's a good thing, I think. It could be a negative mark.
Mm.
Well, this is why Morocco boasts such a unique and ethnically diverse culture today.If you're unique, you're one of a kind. There's no one else around there like you. Maybe you consider yourself very special. Or maybe you're unique because something's only located in one particular area or region of the world. So if you want a unique piece of, culture or maybe a unique type of food, you'll have to go to one place. It's the only place to buy it. That would be something that's unique.Ethnically, ethnic just means it relates to a particular race or nation. It also includes their traditions and their customs. So all of these things have remained behind in Morocco. So as these people were traveling through, they kind of left behind some of those unique things about them. And so it's part of Morocco now.
Right. And this is best demonstrated by Moroccan cuisine.So if you want to show something to someone and let them know what it's about or how it works, you demonstrate that thing to them. A salesman trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner would demonstrate it to you. He would show you how to use it. And the point we've made here that it's a unique and ethnically diverse country, well, this is demonstrated by Moroccan cuisine. We can see this in their cuisine. Cuisine just means food. It's a fancy word for food.So when we talk about a specific kind of food from a certain area, we use cuisine, like Japanese cuisine or Thai cuisine or French cuisine, or as in this case, Moroccan cuisine.
So what's so special about their cuisine? It's a combination of Spanish food, Middle Eastern food, Mediterranean food, African food, and they also have their native Berber recipes. And we're saying these things are all rolled into one.So even though they came from different areas, they've now become one unique thing, and we call it Moroccan food, Moroccan cuisine. A recipe, of course, is simply a set of instructions or directions that you need in order to cook a particular type of food. The other day, I actually called my mom and asked her for a recipe for some brownies, a kind of dessert we like to eat that has chocolate in it. I couldn't remember what to put in.And so it's important to have a recipe if you're really going to make something accurately and make it taste authentic.
Okay, now spices are used prominently. If something's prominent, that means it's very obvious, it sticks out. So one of the special features of Moroccan food is the spices, okay? The smells and the tastes. And spices have been imported to Morocco for thousands of years. Spices would include All sorts of things. We mentioned saffron before. That's an example of a spice. There are the things like cinnamon and rosemary and coriander and various things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, here we have an example of some of their food. They have chicken that's flavored with fresh lemons and salty olives. I must confess, this isn't the way I make my chicken, but it sounds like it's really kind of tasty. Fresh lemons would add sort of a zip and a zing to it, and salty olives remind me of Italy and Mediterranean food. So it's kind of, it sounds very tasty, but it's not the way I usually cook my chicken. Do you eat chicken like this?
No, I'm actually vegetarian.
That's
right. Well, if I were to go to Morocco, I might make an exception just to try some of these things. I did eat meat before, so I don't believe it would be a big sin of me to do it just to try the food there. But, yeah, this sounds cool. I'm a big fan of olives here.
Mm.
Or you could also enjoy a plate of couscous.
Couscous.
Couscous, okay. I've never had that before.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's probably why I didn't pronounce it correctly. But it's a famed Moroccan dish, and it includes steamed semolina that's often served with chickpeas and vegetables. Now, semolina is something that comes from wheat, right?
Uh-huh. It's kind of a very coarse yellow flour. It's pale yellow flour. It's ground from something called hard durum wheat.
Okay.
And they use it to make traditional pasta. I've had that before. The chickpeas are large brown, or I wouldn't call them brown. I'd call them kind of tan color peas. We call them garbanzo beans.
Ooh.
In America as well. Sometimes people will crush up those chickpeas into a paste. That's a popular kind of food. And vegetables. So this is a typical, I would say, Middle Eastern Mediterranean dish here. So it sounds tasty. When you're full, you can wash it down with a refreshing cup of Moroccan mint tea. So here are some different kinds of flavors and foods. You don't see couscous here in Taiwan very much, I must say. I had not tasted couscous until I went back east. And we would get very different kind of ethnic foods. On Friday at my firm, it was free lunch on Friday. And so sometimes we'd order Chinese food, sometimes Mexican, sometimes Indian. Indian was the most popular. But we had couscous a lot. So I got used to eating it. It's a different taste. It's a different texture. So you should try it if you get a chance. Chickpeas. Yeah, I like garbanzo beans. They're okay. Have you had them before?
I was trying to think. I made some kind of paste or some kind of sauce with garbanzo beans.
Uh-huh.
I want to say it was pate, but I don't think it was that. It was something else. I got a recipe and I tried it. It was very tasty.
Okay.
Mixed with olive oil and something else. But yeah, you can use garbanzo beans or chickpeas for various dishes.
Are you telling us you cook, Tom?
When I have access to a kitchen, yes. I have. I used to be a short order chef in a...
Really?
Well, it's kind of a greasy spoon restaurant. But still, I did learn some of the concepts of cooking.
Cool.
How certain things take longer to cook than others. So it's all about timing. And
sure.
These things have to come out at the same time. It is quite challenging, actually.
Uh-huh.
But indeed, this is an example of something you might expect to taste and treat yourself to if you go to Morocco. And mint tea, of course, is tea that has mint leaves in it. So mint, of course, is kind of a very refreshing and cool spice. They use it in gum a lot.
Oh, and in chocolate chip mint ice cream.
Ooh,
that's one of my favorites.
Say that.
It's a green ice cream. Okay, everybody, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
我们继续来介绍摩洛哥王国，它的地理位置、它的人口、它的人种，还有它的文化。首先知道它是在北非，那人口数呢 ？Approximately 接近几乎大约3200万人。再来，在历史演变当中呢，摩洛哥把其他各国的外国文化吸收进来，然后呢？融合到他自己的文化传统当中。这里有一个动词 assimilate， assimilate 就是代表 absorb， 也就是吸收，使同化。他其实是吸收别人的，然后再融入他自己的传统当中。他继续就讲了，其实这边人种很多，包括像 Romans 罗马人、摩尔人、犹太人，还有阿拉伯人，他们都曾经经过这里，而且留下足迹。这也就是说，我们看到今天的摩洛哥，它特殊而且多元的文化。注意到这里 ，ethnically diverse culture， 意思就是它的种族文化非常的多元。 好，我们看看下面这一段呢，继续介绍摩洛哥它有什么特色，包括料理方面是怎么一回事。提到了 Moroccan cuisine， 摩洛哥的料理呢，可以显示出它的多元文化来，因为它的料理is a combination of Spanish, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, African, and native Berber recipes. 这么多各式各样的烹饪方式融合在一起。Berber 是指北非的原住民，而提到它香料的使用，可以说是摩洛哥料理的最大特色。注意到这里有一个副词 prominently，代表是受瞩目的，是重要的。因此我们知道它料理里最注意到的就是它的香料使用。这边提到其实几千年前香料就进口到摩洛哥了，你在这里用餐的时候可以怎么样呢？它这边的动词 feast on， feast 本来是大餐，动词就是吃大餐， feast on something 是大快朵颐。吃什么？新鲜的柠檬和咸橄榄调味出来的鸡肉，用到了 flavored with，以什么调味？我们经常会用这个片语，鸡肉是用后面这两个东西 fresh lemons, salty olives 去加以调味而来的。或者呢，你会享用一盘的 couscous， 这个到底是什么？其实它是一种很有名的摩洛哥菜，很有名的。我们知道有些字很常见，像 famous, celebrated, well known， 这里用到的是 famed， 也就是有名的、知名的。这个知名的菜色Steamed semolina， 我们中文翻成蒸出的麦粉。蒸出麦粉再配上什么呢？ Chickpeas， 所谓的鹰嘴豆，还有 vegetables， 蔬菜。不过当你肚子吃饱的时候，你还可以怎么办呢？ Wash it down with a refreshing cup of Moroccan mint tea。 Mint tea 当然是薄荷茶，可是 wash down， 本来 wash 当然是冲洗，可是当我们说配着这个东西喝下去，我们用 wash it down with something， 这边的意思也就是说，你在吃饱的时候可以喝上一杯清爽的薄荷茶配着吃进去。
This is only day one of our article Trekking Through Morocco. We're going to talk more about Morocco in our next program. It's fascinating, so we sure hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.